The Pat Kenny Show
with MasterCard. Share in extraordinary experiences all over the world with priceless cities at priceless.com.
This is News Talk.
Now, Jess Kelly is here. She's going to answer all your tech questions, and we've lots coming in, but she's also going to talk about her visit to Seattle.
Yeah.
And the secrets that unfolded.
So this, like I told one of your producers, Owen Brennan, this was on one of my bucket lists, you know, to go to the Microsoft campus before I die, which he replied with, that's pathetic. But still, I got to go and it was great. So we got to see in all of the secret rooms, I got to see where the HoloLens was developed. That's their mixed reality device. I got to wear the new version of it, which is not even finished yet, and I got to try it out, and it's going to use eye control, so it was paired to my eyes and it was following me, and I could control the mixed reality. I could pick things up, I could pick up a virtual box and I could say pop and it would explode before me because it recognized my voice. And we're going to see this if you work in any form of, you know, hands-on job, we're going to see that technology coming in more and more, and it's only a matter of time. I asked one of the guys who developed it, you know, when am I going to get a little plug-in for my glasses that, you know, will just tell me everything I need to know, kind of like the Google Glass concept, but the next generation. And he kind of like said, I can't possibly say, but sooner than you might think, which made me happy. But one thing that jumped out at me from the trip was a conversation I had with Mike Nichols, who's the chief marketing officer at Xbox. I was really interested to know there are 2.4 billion people on the planet who play games. Isn't that just a remarkable number?
It's pathetic in a way.
Ah, Pat, come on now. No, but it's everything from, you know, solitaire on the phone right through to consoles. And what they're trying to do, what Xbox are trying to do, is target those 2.4 billion so that they all use some form of a Microsoft product. And that's not just the Xbox. So they're working on something called Project X at the moment, which is taking gaming from the console to the cloud. So say, for example, if you are a big, you know, Fortnite fan, let's just imagine, and you don't want to play on the console the entire time, you want to play on your commute to work or in the office or whatever, they're going to have the capability to stream those high quality, high intensity games to a device of your choosing. They also want to break down the barriers between Nintendo, PlayStation and Xbox, so that if you have a PlayStation and I have an Xbox, that we can play against each other, because at the moment it's all a very closed infrastructure. So it's good news for those 2.4 billion people who are gamers and not of any relevance to those who are not.
Now, the Sony phone that you have,
yes.
Budget phone, what, less than a couple of hundred?
Yeah, so it's less than €200, so it's 199. It's called the Sony Xperia L3, and I'm always fascinated by this price bracket, because if you can deliver a phone that's enjoyable to use that costs less than £250, you're doing well. And I think Sony have really managed to do it. It's a good alternative to the Huawei P Smart, the phone that I'm always banging on about, which is the same price. So out of the box, it has a 5.7 inch HD screen. It's a nice screen. The back of the phone, it's a little bit plasticky, but I actually think it looks expensive
enough.
Fine,
yeah.
Like, you would not disregard it because of how it looks. Internally, it has 3 gigs of RAM and only 32 gigs of internal storage. However, you can put a micro SD card. So what I would say to you is, when you're looking at the €200 price bracket, factor in another €40 to get a micro SD card to put into the back of the phone. 3,300 milliamp battery. And when I was using it, I was really impressed by it. Like, I've said it a million times on this phone, I'm not the biggest fan of Sony's interface, but I really enjoyed using this phone. Like, from the basic things of jumping from app to app, it's grand. The camera is, like, it's very good for £200.
It has a headphone jack?
It has a headphone.
Does it have FM
it doesn't.
Radio?
I don't actually know about the FM.
Jack,
sorry,
does
it stop? On the FM radio question, I'm not 100% sure. Let me check for you here now and see if I can find one. But all in all, I have to say I have been impressed by it. It does have an FM radio, Pat.
There you are.
It ticks the Pat Kenny box. So, but I have to say I was very impressed by it. It has two cameras. The camera is not stellar. And if your options are the Huawei P Smart or the Xperia L3, I would go for the P Smart purely because the camera is better. However, it is a very good alternative. So if you're on a low price plan or you want a standard device that is less than £200, the L3 is worth
it. And on some of the programs with Vodafone and the others,
from
you can probably get it for free. Yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Now, Jess, the call's coming in. Speaking of the Huawei P Smart, will it work in the US, or do I need to make preparations before I go?
No, and that's a really good question, because so you can't buy a Huawei phone in the US, and when you use a Huawei phone in the US, they all kind of look at you funny going, what is that? But they work perfectly. Yeah, yeah. They don't trust you. But I was using one last week and it works perfectly fine.
Okay. I'm a photographer and I have lots of images that I regularly need to back up. I'm not in a very good broadband coverage area, so cloud storage isn't an option at the moment. I've had single external drives that have failed in the past, so those are not the best option either. I currently use a NAS RAID setup, but I realise this is not proper backup solution. Any suggestions, please, from John in Cork.
You're kind of stuck in a tricky place at the moment. You know, we had a question, I think it was last week or the week before, about external hard drives, and I've been looking around at what is a good solid option, and something like the Seagate 3 terabyte drive is as good as you're going to get. I was astounded to see that a 3 terabyte hard drive has come down in price. It's now €109 in Harvey Norman, which is so affordable. So I do think that is probably your best option until you do get to a stage where you can rely on cloud computing. Mm.
You might bring your drive with you and upload it to the cloud in an area.
Exactly, as a double backup.
Yeah, yeah, as a double backup. Can you please ask Jess, I want to buy a OnePlus phone. The OnePlus 6T looks great, but it seems the OnePlus 7 release announcement is imminent. Should I wait?
You see, this is the thing. You could always be waiting for the next big thing because phones are like they're coming out at such a pace at the minute. What I would say is if you can hold out for the OnePlus 7, do. I don't anticipate a massive leap between the 6T and the 7, but the price of the 6T may come down. That's the good thing about holding out. The 6T is a great phone. One of the guys in the office has it here and he raves about it all the time. So you're not going to be buying a dud when you have the 6T. But as I said, you could be waiting forever to get the next big thing and then suddenly it's outdated.
What's the cheapest laptop on the market? Even an 11-inch screen would do compared to the normal 15-inch. That's from a big listener, G.
What's interesting there is that sometimes the bigger screens can be cheaper because they're less desirable, because they're less portable. So I wouldn't necessarily judge it on screen size. If you want something that's incredibly cheap, look at a Chromebook. So they are laptops that you can't really install programs on. You can do everything cloud-based and they're great. You can get them from around €200. Asus and Acer are my two go-to brands there, as I said, around €200. Beyond that then, you should be able to get a HP, I think it's the HP StreamBook are around 329, which is another option for you there as well.
Best phone to buy, Samsung Note 9 or P20 Pro. I use my phone a lot for work. I need a great battery and I want it to be user friendly. From Steve.
So the Note range of phones, they are my favourite range of phones out of all of the phones that I've ever used. However, if you're saying battery, nothing can compare to the Huawei P20 Pro, in my opinion, except for the Huawei Mate 20 Pro, which is great as well. So I would look at Huawei if battery life is what matters to you.
This one's interesting. My phone and all my photos are backed up on iCloud, but to save storage space on my phone, I chose the phone settings to optimize iPhone storage, which just leaves a thumbnail version of my pics on my phone. These are of lower quality than the original. How can I get the higher quality photos back from the cloud and store them somewhere else, as I'm going to change soon to Android? That's from Brian.
This destroyed my soul when I was an Apple user. I just found it so frustrating. So they do that exact thing whereby they just save an image and then when you're in Wi-Fi, if you want to tap on the image, you get the full quality photograph back down. So if you go to iCloud.com and you log in with your Apple ID, you should be able to see all of your photographs from there. You will then have the option to save them all to a device. So if you do it from a computer, save them all to a device and then set up either a OneDrive, a Microsoft OneDrive or a Dropbox account or even a Google Photos account and then just upload them all. Bear in mind, it's going to take a long period of time and do not delete anything until you see them in the new cloud destination, just to ensure that none of your photos go walkies.
Okay. Can you get an HDMI cable that plays Sky Go from iPhone to TV? It's Masters Week.
Oh, good question. I think the cable does exist that you could plug. Like, I'm sure you can get an adapter. But I don't know if it would work. I wonder, is there like a workaround on Sky Go? That seems to me like something that they would have thought about to ensure that you're not doing that. Let me email pakkenny@newstalk.com and I'll get on to Sky, the press office, after this and I'll check it out.
My 14-year-old phone is dying. I would like to replace it. Looking at the Samsung A7 and the Moto G7 Power, do you have a view on the different recommendations? Budget 200 to 300.
If that's your budget and it's for a 14-year-old, I would actually go with the Xperia L3, the phone that we mentioned here. Mm-hmm. The reason I would go for that is because the build of it, as I said at the beginning, it's a little bit plasticky, so it'll bounce if your teenager drops it. It'll also do everything that they want and more. And I would, in my opinion, it would sort of outrank the A7 and the G7 that you've mentioned in your text.
Jess previously recommended an app to measure iPhone usage levels. Could you give that name again?
You know, if it's on an iPhone, and pretty much every phone that I've reviewed in the last little while, they all have a digital habits tracker within the settings. So you go into settings and you scroll down and you'll see either digital well-being or digital tracker, and that will then tell you what you're using and how much you're using. A really good app to download is called Checky. It's completely free, and that'll tell you how many times you unlock your phone. But as I said, The majority of devices now have that software installed.
I could just recommend a Fitbit alternative for an 8-year-old. Lots of options on Amazon. Budget around €40.
€40. Off the top of my head, I'm not too sure. I know that Fitbit have a child-specific wearable, and I know that Vodafone have one as well.
They'd be expensive.
They're in and around £100 or so.
See, a lot of these trackers, you see them advertised all the time. But they're kind of no name I've ever heard of trackers. But if they work,
Do the job. The other one to look at as well, it's kind of being phased out now, is the Fitbit Alta. I think that's around €60. It's like no flashes or anything like that, but it does the job just fine.
I wonder, would you have an idea for me to replace my Samsung Galaxy Core Prime? It's just over 3 years old. I really like it, but a few minor glitches from time to time. Just a non-complicated Samsung model. That's from Joan.
The Core Prime. I don't even know what that is off the top of my head, to be honest with you. Let me just take a quick look here now. It's a tablet, is it? It looks like it's a Samsung tablet, as far as I can tell. The Samsung Tab E or Tab A is very good. They're very affordable, does the job nice. Also, the Huawei tablets have been getting great reviews as well.
Final one before you head off to Facebook Live. Looking for a phone mainly for calls, texts, online banking, Gmail and Google, with a good battery. In other words, cameras not mentioned.
Cameras not important. Yeah, so again, look at the Xperia L3 that we mentioned. Also the Huawei P Smart. Some of the new Nokia devices look great as well. I would say you don't have to spend more than €250 on a decent smartphone anymore, unless you care about processing speed, battery and camera. You can get a good...
But just to do the nuts and bolts, bread and butter stuff.
€200 or so, and look at the Huawei P Smart or the Xperia L3.